welcome to the show. Today we have a special guest. Her name is Julia Song. I've actually been trying to get her on the show for quite some time to tell her story. Kind of like how when I had Lily Tang Williams on the show, she came from China and was talking about her past experiences and what she's seeing and the parallels with what she lived in China. Julia has a very similar story, of course, from a different direction down south in South America. And it's a haunting similarities, similar to what Lily was saying. And I'm really happy to have her on our show. Welcome to the show, Julia. How are you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me. Hi, everyone.
So let's just get right into it. You wrote an awesome article that I read last year. I shared it, and it was really insightful, and it sounded like you really went through some stuff. Tell us your story.
Could you repeat the last part of the question? Kind of like cut off a little bit.
Yeah, I just, you know, I want to hear it from, you know, I want you to sum it up. So, you know, you were from Brazil, and, you know, when you were younger, you were living through a harsh environment. And why don't you tell us about it?
So actually, my mom, she had 2 degrees. She had a degree in business and she had a degree in law. So she was a lawyer. She worked for the government. The place that I come from, in many places around the world, the most basic form of business that they have is tourism. So we had beaches, and that was about it. Yep. So the only other big employer was the government. So my mom worked for the government. And it's not like she was very big in politics or anything. It was just a job. You know, there's 2 big industries, hotels don't need a whole lot of lawyers. So she worked for the government. And she happened to work for the party that lost, the Conservative Party at the time. That was back when the left took over. And at that point, they engaged in a lot of political persecution, firing anybody who, like I mentioned, the government was the biggest employer. So they were firing everybody who had any connection or had worked for or had any views that could have been against their socialist plans.
Yeah.
And basically, the way that they governed, it wasn't very conducive for businesses to come over or to even get started. They were overtaxing everything. They were killing the economy. So there were no businesses. They were firing everyone who didn't agree with them. And basically, there was nowhere to work, nowhere to live, nowhere to do anything. So eventually, as time went by, my mother, you know, she had her savings, but this lasted for so many years. They were in power for 16 years. So
when did that start, just as a base?
I think it started in 2013. Okay. No, 2003. Sorry, 2003. Okay. 2001, 2003. Yeah, the early 2000s. So she ran through her savings. She thought that since she wasn't going to get a job, she might as well start her own business. So she put all of her savings into this business, tried to keep it alive. And then, of course, it died because nobody could sustain a business at that point. They were overtaxing it to death. They basically don't want anybody to compete. They want to dictate the rules for business ownerships. They don't like small businesses. And we're seeing that the comparison to that with the lockdowns here, where mostly small businesses were affected by this rule. So yep. Anyway, we went through a period of homelessness. We went through a period of a lot of uncertainty. We had no money, no way of income. My mom was by herself. So it went on, it dragged on for many, many years. And eventually, as I started, I was blaming my mom. I was like, how could you be involved in politics? Like you see what it did to us, right? It's such a terrible thing. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to take that path because I know how terrible it is. But I saw the need to get involved because as time went on, things didn't get better. They got so much more worse. It's like I had this hope in my heart every time there's the New Year's. I had this hope like, oh my God, New Year, everything's going to be better. Things are going to improve. Look at what they're talking on TV, the present. So they didn't. They got exponentially worse to the point where I couldn't even imagine how worse it was going to get. It was like, I thought, maybe I'll get a little bit worse, but it's like, holy moly. Yeah. I just got tired of turning the New Year's hoping things will get better. And I got involved. Even though my city, so for reference where I lived, it was probably one of the poorest places in South America. They have a very desert-like type of climate. So what the left does is that they keep people under their control by giving them a whole lot of welfare. So there's no jobs, but there's a little bit of welfare. And there's that dependency, right? Especially in that area. So it was one of the bluest areas in the country. And I was able to gather like around 100,000 people to go to the streets to protest. I was a part of many protests. Of course, I didn't do it by myself. It was a whole group of people who helped organize, and I helped organize it as well. And we would, for example, the government would find out about our protest, and they would infiltrate. They would pay the campaigns and they had the HQs like they have here, like the Democrat HQ, the GNC HQ, the local government HQ. So they would pay actors to go and show up and break glass and try to make everybody look bad. So at first, there's a lot of public support for the protest, but then every single protest, there's somebody who's wearing all black, breaking doors, breaking windows, breaking everything, breaking into private property. And then people started, you know, hating on us. And among other things that they would do, other very pervasive techniques. So people think that government would only act from an official level, but they would act, you know, in the shadows. So what one of the things that they would do is that wherever the path of the protest is, they will put in, they'll put out an order for the local businesses to close. So you can imagine the equator sun, everybody's marching the middle of the day. There's no winter, there's no nothing. It's always the same climate. So you're marching in the asphalt for a long, long time, and there's nowhere you can buy water. There's nowhere you can. So people start passing out. I'd have to talk to businesses and get them to please, please, please open up. So we want to buy. We don't want us to. We just want to buy. So they will open like this much between the gate and the floor. And we will have to crawl under to get into the businesses and buy water because they were so afraid of the government.
So just to maintain like no, we're still closed. See, our gate is kind of closed. So, you know, from like a farther distance, they would seem closed. Is that why they would do it that way?
Yeah, because if the police was looking, then they would seem closed. But then we would get on the floor, crawl inside, and then inside it would be open. The AC was on. People were buying drinks. They were eating something. But and I had to keep telling them, like, please, please, please. And they kept, like, lowering the gates. And please, please, please. There's nobody. But we needed it because 100,000 people, everybody's, you know, hungry. It's the whole day type of thing. Yeah. So it was one way to hurt the protests. So they used several techniques. They went on TV, used the media to try to hurt us. But eventually we moved on and we got the president to be impeached. So that was good. That was great.
What year was that? Just curious, what year?
I think that was 2016. Okay. I think that was 2016.
And then is that when Bolsonaro took over or was elected? I don't know too much about down there, but okay, continue, please. Don't let me stop you.
That's all right. So then we got her out of power and her vice president took over. And he stayed in power for about a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, maybe a little bit less. And then there were the elections, and he was so incredibly hated by both the left and the right that they kind of like, it was a big thing. So then Bolsonaro showed up, and the left actually paid, and this is true. There's a lot of articles, there's a lot of information out there, and actual proof from the inquiry that the federal police did on this incident, that the individual who stabbed Bolsonaro during the campaign trail was a part of a leftist group, was very engaged, was an activist, and basically was receiving money, was having his lawyers paid for. Nobody knows who was paying them. It's still under investigation, of course. But so they've taken on these tactics of having somebody go stab the guy because they don't like him. So it's a pretty nasty business. And just to, I guess, conclude a little bit, I know everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna stop talking. I moved here to the US, and after dealing with all of that, I was like, my God, I can't handle it anymore. I'm done with politics.
Yeah.
It's behind me. But then I saw all the leading signs. I saw all the same stuff happening here, to the point where I wish I knew all these signs back in Brazil. I wish I knew before they took over for 16 years and never, you know, they wouldn't have let go of power if we hadn't done all of this.
Right.
So I've been trying to warn people ever since I moved here, ever since 2015, 16. I think around 2016 is when I opened a big Instagram account, and been trying to warn people and tell them, hey, listen, it's the same playbook. They play whatever they did in Russia, whatever they did in China, whatever they did in Venezuela, the same playbook. If we just pay attention to the signs and learn to recognize them here, maybe we can stop them before they do that kind of damage.
Give me some of those parallels. Like what are the first couple real threats that you see that is happening right now in America?
There's so many. So yeah, one of the big things they want to increase reliability on the government. So they want you to rely on the government. Liberty and freedom can come in different ways. A lot of people think about it in terms of guns. But what Biden just did today, threatening people's livelihoods, he wasn't telling people, saying, hey, listen, you better go vaccinated or I'm going to come after you. He was telling the employers. Now, these employers rely on very, very good relationships with the government. That's why they pay lobbyists and thousands of or millions of dollars to political campaigns. So yeah, they're not going to go against it. They rely on these regulations and all of that to stay afloat. So they're not going to go against Biden. They're going to do what Biden says. Plus, otherwise, they'll be fined $14,000 per incident. And I don't know how often that would be. But it's something that businesses can't really afford.
Yep.
So they're just going to kill small businesses. They're making sure that people either comply or they're not going to be able to support themselves. And it's what it is. They want to take away your financial freedom. They want to take away your medical freedom. They want to take away all of your freedoms so that, you know, public education is all of it. Oh, my God, it's all over. It's all over the place. All the signs are out there. And I wish more people would just recognize it for what it is. It's not a bug. It's a feature.
Do you know, have you ever heard the American Creed? Check this out. So this is the American Creed. I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon. I seek opportunity to develop whatever talents God gave me, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refused to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any earthly master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and act myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, this, with God's help, I have done. That is what it means to be American. And I love that. This was in the earliest, I don't know, like 100 years ago, this came about. And it really does make me think whenever, you know, the whole welfare state, getting people addicted to, like it said here, you know, like the guaranteed, you're like, yeah, you get a little bit, you know, but you're not going to earn it. You're just going to be given it. The welfare state, you're going to be kept poor forever because that's what they want. You know, like that you're saying, that's what they were doing to these small businesses, these people in like the desert biome, you know, they're just like, they can't prosper because they're stuck in this, I need the government to provide for me. And like, that's why I love this American's Creed, because freedom, you know, well, what is freedom to you? Just curious. Like, what is your definition of freedom? Can you hear, did you hear me? Did I break up?
Yeah. What was that? The last one?
Oh, just curious what your definition of freedom is.
So, I think that's just, let me just touch on the point that you mentioned a little bit before that, and then sure. I will go to my definition of freedom.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the problem when you have a reliability on the government is that the government or the people in power, they can decide who's worthy of services and who can be cut off. And especially in that type of atmosphere where you have limited resources because they're making so many bad decisions about economy that you have high inflations, you have high spending, high debt, whatever. And they don't know how to control themselves. They see all this money and they just want to spend it. They don't have any reserves. They don't have anything. So yeah. they now you're going to have limited resources, right? And you're going to have to decide who you're going to spend it on. And it's what these people are saying. If you didn't get the vaccine, you're not going to get the ICU beds. And now right. You imagine if the healthcare was something that was managed by the government. The mandates would have been already been in place if you're not going to get an ICU bed. True. They can't do that so far, but they might try as the same thing that they're trying with the private businesses right now. So
they're getting there. We're seeing it.
It's eventually it's going to be like, you're not worthy of food. We have limited amount of food and you've been a bad guy and you're not going to get any food. Your family's not going to get any today. And, you know, it even from a concept of, let's be very naive about it. Let's imagine that we have a benevolent dictator in power, that this guy is the best guy ever.
Okay.
Whenever this person dies, all the power that he was retaining is going to go to someone else. And whenever that person dies, it's going to go to someone else. And how can we ensure that for eternity, not a bad person is going to take up all that power? That's a problem when you hoard all the power, is you can't guarantee who's going to be the person who's going to be wielding it.
Yep.
So eventually we have to take power away from the government, not give it to the government, because we don't know who are the people that could be taking advantage of that. It could be a crazy leftist, it could be a crazy right-wing person. But I'm not going to put my family and my livelihood on the line. You see right now what's going on.
Yeah.
So my definition of freedom is it's what I've been really disappointed with America, because I thought when I was in Brazil and we were organizing this movement and we were dealing with all the government pushback and all these dirty tricks that they were using. It was very, very sad. I mean, we were tired, you know, getting pepper gas, getting whatever. So we looked up to America for guidance, for motivation, for inspiration. We were like, we want to be as free as America. And I really want people, everybody's so afraid right now to go out there and protest because they're afraid to be profiled by the federal government. Yeah. They're afraid to be entrapped. They're afraid to be put into a situation or, you know, all it takes is a picture, all it takes is your name out there, now you lose your job, which doesn't matter anyway because now everybody's going to lose their job, maybe, probably.
I mean, it's happening. I mean, I know someone who is a watcher of mine, and he started doing a YouTube show because he directly said, like, I helped him inspire him to want to do this also, to do his own research, to, like, bring it out to the world. And one of his coworkers saw his videos and reported him to his business, who then went to him and said, you either have to, like, edit all this stuff out or you can't work here anymore. And he's like, I had to stop doing the show because or the show that he was doing, you know, and that's so terrifying.
Yeah. Now.
And I mean, even today, goodness sakes, I've already seen friends of mine losing their jobs just because of this new mandate.
Yeah. I'm very lucky that my coworkers who did find my page, even though I went and tried to block them all, they didn't go to my boss. But if they would have, even if I didn't get fired, I feel like a lot of my opportunities at work to grow and a lot of the meetings that I would have been a part of, a lot of the stuff that happened, I wouldn't have had those opportunities because they wouldn't trust me. They wouldn't. And at first it used to be, you can say whatever you want online, just don't tag the company. Just don't make sure it's your opinions that you view are your own. But now they don't want that anymore. It's like you're found out, you're gone, right?
Yeah.
So my definition of freedom is basically you do whatever the heck you want. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want to have a gun, have a gun. If you want to live in the country, live in the country. I don't care. You have your right to hate me. You have your right to like me. You have your right to do whatever you want. And I have my rights. As long as you don't touch me, as long as you don't harm me, and you don't harm others physically, as long as you're not. Like, even when it comes to people saying, how can you be at the GOP? You're a minority, you're a foreigner, and they hate you. They have the right to hate me. We all have prejudices. We all have, you know, different things that it's
part of who we are. They don't ever prove that, though. They don't ever prove. Like, that's just a blanket statement that it's a talking point that they're told to say.
I mean, even if they did, right? So they even have the right to hate me, and I have the right to feel however it is that I feel about them.
Right.
As long as they don't touch me, as long as they don't harm me.
Right.
Yeah, you're free to do whatever it is that you want. But mm-hmm. I've been a part of, during my activism, I've been a part of the U.S. And it's like, it's exactly like you said. I've been all over the U.S. dealing with all kinds of people, and everybody's like, hi, you're from Brazil, that's awesome. You're speaking up and blah, blah, blah. And everybody's so excited, right? The type of people that you would think that, you know, they have thick accents, thick Southern accents and whatever. The only time that I've actually been put down was whenever I was dealing with leftists because they wanted me to make me feel like I was a victim. So they were like, don't go talk to Republicans. They hate you. They feel like you're so gross because you're from South America and they hate immigrants and they feel like you're never going to be an American and you have a thick accent and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, They do. Like, they've been so nice to me. What's happening?
Where are they getting their information from?
Right. Sort of,
it feels like they're projecting. That's what it feels like.
Why are you saying these things to me? Like, where did this come from? You're telling me that they're saying that they're thinking and they're saying these things, but you're the one that's actually voicing it. And it's like that what happened to Larry Elder, where the person dressed as a monkey, a white woman dressed as a monkey, was throwing eggs at a black guy.
Insane.
If that would have been the other side. Mm-hmm. It would have been crazy.
It would be, they'd be talking about it for months. For months. It would be headline news right now. But the LA Times, for example, who wrote the, you know, that he is the black face of white supremacy, they even wrote in their article, a woman attempts to throw an egg at him. And it's like, that's it? That's how strongly you cover that you are probably the ones that caused it, LA Times, that she was probably read your article and believes what you said. which may have directly caused her to try to, well, she did punch her, the security guy, but it's like this media, the narrative, it's all about control. And, you know, they want people like you to be victims. They want everyone to feel victimized and need the government, you know?
Yeah, they want me to feel like I need protection. That, and then I can tell them, listen, I don't need protection from the government. I can just get myself a gun and protect myself. And yep. They're like, no. Wait a minute.
Whoa. No, you need the government to have the guns, not you.
We don't trust you anymore.
So, wait. Right, you're cool with the GOP? All right, well, we don't like you anymore now. Now, it was the GOP that doesn't like you? We lied. It's actually us. That's they really let their true colors fly when you don't agree with them, right?
Yep.
It's pretty crazy to see it happen in real time.
I wasn't self-conscious until they started saying all these things. Like, everybody at the GOP and all these conservative meetings, they were super happy to meet me, happy that I was coming here and bringing all these stories. And then they started messaging me, like, just like, they know, you know, you're just a token to them, right? Because you're never going to be a part of them. You're never going to be, like, they started putting me down so much. I was like, why are you saying this? There's no way. Like, I have these people on my phone. We talk. We stay at each other's houses. We have get-togethers. We know each other's families. So at what point are they faking it, or maybe you're just projecting, right?
No, they're projecting 100%. To me, you know, I think about, I mean, the GOP leadership, some of the people that are leading it, I don't necessarily agree with, but Republicans in general, people that are on more the right-leaning side of things, to be American to these people is to love America, is to, like, you said it yourself, you looked up to America. You looked to America to be, like, that beacon of freedom when you were dealing with the things you were dealing with back home, you know? And now that you've come here, you know, you've taken it on. Like, you now are in this place of freedom. And those people recognize it. Like they said, thank you for standing up. Oh, you know, you're from there. Like, now you're standing up and you're out protesting against that stuff. Like, awesome. Because that's being American. And they recognize that. They recognize people that love the country for what it is. And these leftists, these, you know, I don't want to say Democrats, because not all Democrats, most Democrats, whatever. You know, they want people marginalized. They want people separated. They want people hating each other. Instead of what the true American idea is if you get here and you love it here and you work hard to live here and be here, then you're American, period. Right? The American's creed. It's like, I don't want to live in the stale calm of utopia. I want to work hard and get fulfillment that I earn. Now, you can't get that off of welfare.
Yeah.
You have to earn it.
The right wing loves freedom. And like I mentioned, freedom is being power to do whatever it is that you want. And that type of power doesn't go well with the left because they want control. So whatever it is that empowers people, whether it is, you know, a very strong and you know, both sides of the story type of education where you get to know the whole, it's just, it becomes indoctrination. It becomes a tool of control. Anything that empowers you. Guns are not about hunting. They're just, why shouldn't I have it? Why wouldn't my government trust me to have it? Because I trust my government to take care of me. So my government, it should be a situation of trust and not of control. And unfortunately, we can't have that anymore. Whenever we talk about even fairness of elections, they're like, you can talk about it. I talk about it, you can talk about it. You can bring up questions. And if you try to, then you're put down. You're said that only you're anti-fact.
Right, only when it's in their favor, though, because Biden himself said that it's racist to even think about auditing the 2020 elections when Gavin Newsom's probably going to get recalled. Hopefully, he's going to get recalled. But now they're having experts say that they should probably audit the California election. It's like, how is it, you know, it's all about whatever works for them in any situation. Literally any situation, doesn't matter. As long as it benefits them, they're down and to do it. anyone else, just like what happened with Larry Elder, you know, a white woman wearing a gorilla mask, and they're not calling her out for being super racist. Like, that is so racist. But, you know, he's a conservative, so who cares? Let's demonize him as much as possible. Bonkers.
It's about control. They're not going to stop. And if I may say one thing here, it's that if you're listening to this, one of the tools that they use for control, and it's one of the things that they use all over the place. So, like, they use media the same way that they're using it here, they're using it in Brazil. The mm-hmm. same way they're using it here, they're using it. It's a way to legitimize their power. So if they're, one of the things that they use is called dialectical materialism. And basically, it's their way of transforming things into reality that aren't necessarily reality. So if you question, for example, I've had all of my immunizations before. I went to Africa last year, so I had to get it redone. When I moved to the U.S., I didn't have my vaccine card, so I had to get it. Okay. And then I went to Africa, and I had to get it again, all of them. So I've been vaxxed more than most people that I know, but I was concerned about this one. And I was asking questions like, hey, listen, I want to make sure that it's been tested before I put it in my body. I'm getting older. You know, I can't really heal from things just like I did when I was 15.
Right.
Sorry. But so now I'm branded as anti-vax. Now I'm branded as a fascist. Now I'm branded as this, as that. And so they're going to use these as a way to, they don't have the arguments to fight you. So they're just going to use this as a way to shame you into silence. So if you're being called a racist, if you're being called a fascist, if you're being called, and you know who you are, don't listen to these folks, because they're going to use this just as a tool to shut you up. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They feel like your speech is threatening to you, to everybody. So they want to shut you up as quickly as they can. And they know the fastest way to do that is call you a racist, is call you a bigot, is call you a fascist.
True.
So just don't fall for it anymore.
Yep.
You want to call me that? All right. I know who I am.
Boom. I know exactly that feeling. Boom. I mean, I've been called it myself. And if anyone who watches my show, it's very apparent that it's about the person's character that I care about. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin, and that's how it should be. That's how Martin Luther King talked about. Like, they quote him and say, look up to him, but it's like, you're not even listening to the words that man said. Like, go back and listen, and actually listen to his speech, because if you listen to his speech, he said, I have a dream that my kids will grow up in a world where they're judged by not the color of their skin, but the characteristics of the person that they are. And that's what it should be. And that's what I was raised at. Like, that's like, you know, granted, you don't have a very different skin color than, well, it doesn't matter, but like, it's your character. It's the person that you are that I see. And it's very apparent that you want the best for Americans. You want the best for any human being, right? It's very clear that you want people to be free, because you know what freedom is. So what do we do? Like, what you've lived it. You've actually been in an environment where your freedoms were taken away, that you were fighting for it. What do you suggest now that you're here in America? Like, what do you suggest we do? You know?
So, and going back to your previous point of knowing your character, I mean, you've built this platform on your own, and you're sharing it with me. So clearly, it's not something that anyone would think, you know, I'm very thankful that you're sharing this platform with me. And it's something that you wouldn't do if you were, a bad person. But, you know, just, they don't care about what you do. They just want to silence you. So never let that, never internalize that, because they want to get you into a place where you're not a threat to them anymore. And it's all the mind game. So I feel like the first step is probably tune out all these mind games, tune out all this negativity. A lot of people online are afraid to come out because they're afraid to lose their jobs. But you see what happens when you don't come out. You see what happens. You lose it anyway. You lose it anyway. They're not going to leave you alone. People are like, I'm going to move into the country. They're going to find you. They're going to come for you. The whole thing is that they won't allow for dissent. Wherever dissent happens, you go on social media, they silence you. They ban your account. You go, you cannot run, you cannot hide. These people want power. They want the more power, the better. And if you're a threat to that power, and even to the leftists that do watch this, you may agree with them like 90% of the time, but the 10% of the time that you don't agree with their ever-changing opinions and their ever-changing minds, then you become a target too.
Yep.
It's about control. So forget about letting them get into your mind. Forget about hiding. Forget about running away. Forget about, I'm going to go into the middle of Idaho, into the mountains, and just be in the middle of nowhere with my guns. And if they come for me, then that's when I'll just stop. It's the time for you to get involved. The left is extremely active. They go into places where the GOP won't go. The GOP says, I'm not going to go into this area because there's people here who may vote Democrat. And the Democrats are coming to heavily red areas and turning them blue. Yep. They're going for suburban moms.
That's a good point.
Very active. So you need to stop. You need to stop thinking that this isn't going to happen, that this isn't going to come for you, because it's only going to get worse. It doesn't get better. There's not a, maybe people in Venezuela, they're thinking, oh, next year is going to get better, just like I was in Brazil. And do you think next year is going to be better for Venezuela? No, it's going to be worse.
Yep.
In Soviet Union, in China, it always gets worse for the people because they're trying to take away your ability to be free, to fight anything that they push onto you. So you need to actually become involved. You need to actually go out there and find a way to meet like-minded people. And think about the institutions that you're supporting and the people that you're supporting, the people that you're wasting your time on. The media is a big institution that is meant to try to legitimize this power. So we really need to shut off our TVs. Like, think about the services that you use. Think about the things that you do. Be very cautious or mindful of whenever, for example, I go buy something from Amazon, I'm mindful of that. There's something in my mind that bothers me. Even though I know, like, whenever I go, because I'm buying something from a company that is advocating openly for the shunning of people like me out of society. I'm supporting them. And I want to be bothered by that. I want to be mindful of that. I don't want to push myself into a place of comfort. So stop watching cable news. Shut that off. Don't even go to their websites because they get money from the advertisers. Yep. Go to websites that are from real journalists, people who actually, you know, care about the truth, and support those websites, support those people, so that we have less power going to the media. Really bother your representatives. Call them every day. You need to get out there. You know, like, take a moment from your Sunday, from your Saturday. Go into a park with a microphone and a speaker and talk your heart out. And let the people who are out there listen and become a part of the change, become a part of the moving wheel for change. Because if you don't, it's not going to get better. And you think they're going to just forget about you. They're not. They're going to come for all of us. So just the more you do, and the quicker and the faster you do, the faster you become part of the change, the better. The more chances we have before we become like a place like that, because Brazil is still trying to recover from all the damage that's been done to the left by the left. The left has, even though we have Bolsonaro in power, the left has done so much damage and infiltrated so many institutions that the country is in a mess, is in a financial mess. He can't fix anything because he's not a dictator.
Do you
if
like
he were
him?
A dictator, yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. I absolutely like him. They call him a dictator. If he were a dictator, he would have fixed the country already. The country is going to shambles because he's trying to depend on that on the congressmen, on senators, or whatever. People who are just trying to make it as bad as possible so that they can get him out of power. Same thing that happened with Trump.
And they're just locking people up too. That justice or the Supreme Court guy, right? I mean, he's just throwing people in prison without any cause or anything. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. So like the price of gas in Brazil, it's $30 a gallon. And
wow.
That's in local money, but to us, it would be the same thing. It would be like if you were $30 for gallon here, $30. Wow. Okay. And so somebody asked Bolsonaro on Twitter, why is the price of gas $30? And then he said, I don't know, ask your governor, because it leaves the federal refinery at $1. So out of the federal refinery, it's at $1. But your governors are adding so much tax, so much onto it, that it arrives to you at $30. So wow. I'm doing my part. I don't know what's happening. And if he were a dictator again, he would fix it, right? But he's not. So it's to me, I feel like it's up to the people to hold others accountable. We're not doing that. We're so comfortable in our homes, and we're not going to be. They're not going to leave us alone. So you have maybe a little bit of time right now to stop this craziness. But just you about.
You said something earlier when you were kind of, you had a great list of things that people need to do. And one of them, you mentioned that we need to call the representatives. I think it needs to be more than that. I think we need to become representatives. I think people need to get out there and get into the system and help change. Like Bolsonaro could only do so much. And he said, like you said, he's not a dictator. If he was a dictator, he would be like, hey, governors, I'm taking your power away and I'm making gas cheaper now, you know, because you're taxing people too much. But he's not. He's trying to actually do things properly, you know. But if that governor that taxes the people was, say, to be replaced by someone who actually cared for the people and wanted to help people on a more local level, because it really starts at a local level. So it needs to be more than just calling your representatives. We got to get out there and take over and become a part of everything, you know. So like if that governor,
yeah, but you see,
go ahead.
Adam, there's so much power and so much money in play that these people are light years ahead of us. They have right. so many structures to hold on to that power and never let go. They yep. have the primary structure, which is if I try to run against somebody right now, if I try to run for Congress, it would be $20 million. I don't have $20 million to throw out every 2 years. Do you?
Right.
No,
and Gavin
that.
Newsom, for on that point, though, Gavin Newsom is using taxpayer money to help him fight the recall. So he's using money that the taxpayers that might not even want him in power,
yeah, they don't
against
care.
Them all. It's pretty crazy. You make a good point. They are. So then what really, what chance do we have then? What do
tangled.
We do? Here, let me, I'm going to bring
I
this
think
up.
That the system.
Go ahead. I'm going to bring this up. You continue.
I think that, okay, go ahead. Go ahead and I'll go ahead. There is like a structure of power that's been put in place. Mm-hmm. And we need to find a way to crumble that structure somehow so that we can have a chance to be in power as well. So, for mm-hmm. example, I don't have $20 million. Nobody has. Who has that kind of money? It's corporations. No. Corporations are donating to people. So we need to be boycotting those corporations as well, because they're lobbying the politicians once they're in power to push out regulations that keep the little guy out of competition. So there is no free market, actually. We don't have a free market. We have a place where big corporations own everything. They own our politicians. They own. So whenever you think, like, a lot of people are saying, I'm going to fight this and I'm going to sue and I'm going to whatever, right? Mm-hmm. George Soros and all these different people, they've been, and this is verifiable information. So you can go into the websites that verifies who's donating money to campaigns. And you can see that these people are donating money to local office campaigns. So they're donating money to the Board of Elections. They're donating money, not the Board of Elections, the school boards. They're donating money to campaigns like the district attorney. A lot of these district attorneys are, you know, a lot of judges are, you know, it's an elected office. They need money to get there, and they're not going to put their own money. They need donations, right? And that donation comes with a price.
Yep.
So, and if you don't obey, then the next year that donation is going to go to someone else, and you're going to be a one-term type of politician.
That's true.
There's nothing you can do in one term. There's like, because everybody's going to try to obstruct you so much that you don't have power. Right.
That's what happened with Trump.
Right. So it's, I feel like from a place of institutions, not only the government, but like the federal government is trying to take over everything. But it's also a big part of multinationals and big companies. They're like this, right? They're the same thing. And we can try to take away the power from that end. We can try to take away the power by not watching the TV anymore, by not buying their services, by not giving them any money. How they're going to pay for people who keep writing that? How are they going to pay if they're not receiving any ad revenue? So
there's also
need to find ways to break the wheel.
Yeah. Well, you know, cryptocurrency is kind of taking the power away from, you know, central banking. I mean, it's not like we can stop paying taxes. Oh, granted, a lot of people are talking about that. And I'm not sure that's necessarily the answer, because then that gives them a reason to lock you up and get rid of you, you know?
Yeah, so you can try that, good luck, but the Biden government, it has just hired, or is in the process of hiring 90,000 IRS agents. So they want to come for you. Whatever you think, they're already ahead. So you're either going to, it has to be a movement that has to come from all of us at the same time, and it has to be overwhelming. We have to take responsibility and accountability, and it has to be an overwhelming response that they haven't planned for, that they can't fight, because they've already planned for it. If people don't want to pay tax, oh, let's buy 90,000, let's get or hire 90,000 IRS agents. Let's look at people's social media. Like the Congress just subpoenaed 35 big companies to give out information on anyone who's questioning the election. So now they have your information, they have your data, they have your TM.
It's crazy.
They have everyone you've ever talked to. So they're building a list. You need to think about how evil these folks are, how much power is at hand, how much money is at hand, and I'm sure they're not gonna let it go. They're not gonna let it go unless we do something, right? And we need to find out. I don't have the exact answer on what we need to do. I just like to see us get started.
Well, this is a start.
Go out on the streets. Everybody's at home. Yeah.
Someone showed me this the other day. This is a worldwide demonstration. Together we are free. This is worldwide. Let me scroll up. Hold on. All right. So this is it's worldwidedemonstration.com. Okay. And this is seriously. Well, hold on. Let me just read. Yeah, it's not letting me scroll down. All right, so look, we got India, South Africa, Ireland, Chile, England, Argentina, all sorts of England. There's London, Norwich, Leeds, Iran, Italy, Albania, Germany, Australia, Brazil, Canada, New Zealand, Argentina, Sweden, more spots in England, South Africa, all sorts of places in Canada, Washington State. I don't see a lot of United States spots, because they're probably not letting this, people talk about it. Or because this is, I mean, I've seen people all over the globe marching in protest to these mandates, these vaccine passports, this new systems that they're trying to implement, which is absolutely bonkers. Let me bring this back up because I want to read the about this page. So what is it? It's the Worldwide Demonstration, also known as the Worldwide Freedom Rally for Freedom, is an internationally syndicated community demonstration dedicated to emboldening citizens to push back against coronavirus-related restrictions in their countries. The event is deployed by our members, member organizations in each city with a full local autonomy at the grassroots level. Demonstrations are coordinated in a decentralized manner using international consensus to align the date, leaving all event-related decisions in the hands of our local implementers. All events operated by the Worldwide Demonstration member organizations are peaceful and apolitical. But this is the thing here. Freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom of choice, freedom of assembly, and freedom of health. I mean,
You can't go against that. I mean, there's you can if you all you want is control. But it's I feel I like how they their movement is about freedom, and they're saying we're empowering each movement, each country, each local jurisdiction to do their own thing. And we're not trying to tell people what to do. We're not trying to control them. We're trying to let them rise up to the occasion and be responsible for themselves, because with freedom also comes responsibilities, right? Big powers, responsibilities, whatever, Spider-Man. But you have to trust people. You have to trust your own people. And I didn't see any a lot of United States there, and that concerns me. But I also feel like what I just mentioned, the government is ahead of it. They're ahead of the curve. So they know that the power of demonstrations is very powerful. The power of it's like a parasite that feeds off of the people. So if the people are sick, if the people are angry, then the parasite's not going to have a good life. It's going to die. So they want to keep the people as, you know, sheltered as possible. They're afraid of this type of demonstration. So they're doing what they did with the Capitol with January 6th people.
Yep.
They're making an example, right? That the Kyiv shaman guy is still in jail. The guys, they're kept in solitary confinement. Their whole lives is destroyed so that everybody now is afraid to go out and protest. And then somebody does something. They pay somebody to go out there and break a window. And now I'm beside that person. That person's sitting beside me. Or a new altercation. Somebody throws a rock at the police. And then now I'm there. And then now I'm put together, or I'm entrapped. Everybody's afraid to get together to talk about those ideas, to talk about freedom. Because they're afraid to be infiltrated, to have informants, to be put on the list. Some people who ran for Congress got put on the no-fly list, right? So it's a very censoring effort by the government. And unless we have an overwhelming response to it, it's going to get worse. They're going to find more ways to censor us. They are. They're looking for it every day.
It's true. Let me just... this actually has a nice long just explanation about what they're doing here. It says lockdowns and border closures have taken lives to increase suicide rates and destroyed livelihoods, causing financial ruin. No population should ever be subjected to ubiquitous public incarceration. Excessive coronavirus restrictions measures must come to an end, and all state of emergency declarations enabling these measures must be repealed. Tyrannical suppression of dissenting voices must be stopped, and peaceful citizen assembly must be respected by police forces instead of being violently crushed. We have had our bodily autonomy violated by mask mandates, restricting our ability to breathe and speak freely. All mask mandates must end. Plans to mandate coronavirus vaccination enforced by totalitarian vaccine passports are being rolled out internationally. We will not accept movement licenses, aka vaccine passports, becoming a part of our travel requirements. Any mandate that violates informed consent must be stopped totally through legal and activist pushback. As one massive, united, and peaceful community, we will stand up and demand an end to the current restrictions and authoritarian control measures. Authoritarian coronavirus restrictions have damaged our lives more than any virus has, and even if the effects of the virus were more damaging, the restrictions to our freedoms would still have been unjust and unlawful. Our fundamental freedoms have top priority, and we cannot allow them to become constrained for the sake of the generations that follow us. I love that. We cannot allow our human rights to be repackaged as human privileges to be conditioned upon compliance with authoritarianism. That is another thing that is huge. And that is what is happening right now. They are changing it. They are our rights as human beings, not privileges.
Yeah.
Yep. So please check this out. This is worldwidedemonstration.com. You can read more about it yourself. So go on. What were you going to say?
I mentioned in the beginning of the video, my hometown was a place that it depended on tourism. And that happens to many, many cities around the world, because you don't only have so many manufacturing plants that you can put or whatever, or so many cities that can be a banking or, you know, whatever. So a lot of cities in the world depend on tourism, and I've been to the Middle East, I've been to Africa, and I know, my trip to Africa was part of a relief to help people who are going through poverty. And a lot of those people, they wanted to have their own businesses. They wanted to fight. They had a little stand where they would sell things and stuff that they made and little art. And they lived right below the misery line, right below, because they had a little business where they sold those little things. And this includes women. This includes people, you know, who are just trying. I'm not just talking about like a society of big wealthy men trying to make money off of people. I'm talking about the woman who's just lifted herself off of poverty just enough to get a little stand to try to fight for herself and fight for her children and try to improve, right? These are people who rely 100% on tourism. And all of those lives are ruined. What are they going to do? How are they going to feed themselves? How are they going to feed their families? So I think we're going to see, as these restrictions are lifted, we're going to see a huge amount of data coming back from like how Africa is not going to be able to come back from this in a long, long time. How many people died of poverty? How many people died of violence? Because now the resources are limited, so people are going to start taking from each other. They're going to start fighting, which is another thing, right? The government is going to put people against each other on purpose to try to get people to fight. It's going to import people who are impoverished from different nations. Brazil did that with people from Haiti. They did that with people from Cuba. They imported a whole bunch of people, and it's the same playbook everywhere you go. They're trying to make cities more violent. They're trying to put guns in the hands of people who shouldn't have them, like the criminals, the felons, whatever. But the law-abiding people get red flagged. They get, you know, they can be trusted with guns. But it's all of it. It's just happened in the past. It's happening now. And it will happen in the future. It will get worse. We need to figure it out. We need to open our eyes. It's not a bug. It's a feature.
I just think people need to have these conversations. You know, someone in chat said, someone who's usually in chat, I'm not going to call them out, but said, you know, she's great, but this is like a doomer. You're a doomer. And it's like, no, she's a realist. She lived it. All right. She's lived it.
Yeah,
she's seen it. Right. And it's happening now. We are losing our freedoms because that's what they want. They want control. They want to maintain the power that they have, which we have given to them. You know, like we ended the war in Afghanistan. You think they're going to repeal the Patriot Act? No, of course not. They want to be able to spy on American citizens. Duh. Not that that would stop them anyway. Who knows? But or the National Defense Authorization Act that allows them to lie to us. The media is legally allowed to lie to American citizens now. It's like, this is insanity where we've gone. And this was years ago. Go ahead.
All these things have been put in place. And the reason why he says that I'm a doomer is because he feels powerless. But if I were a doomer, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't think that there's hope, if I didn't think that there's a way out, I wouldn't be here. I'll just be hiding in my hole away because I wouldn't want the government to come after me first, right? I want to be the last guy in line. But I'm putting myself out there because I think that there's a shot. We have a shot. We have a way to get out of this. But we need to wake up. We need to figure out what we need to do and start doing it like now. As soon as you're out of this video, start thinking, you know, go to bed with these thoughts in your head. Become very uncomfortable. Become angry because if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. And I think that there's hope. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be talking. I wouldn't be seeing those things, exposing myself to the cancel culture. Neither would Adam. And we're friends. We have a lot of people who are the same. But we need to make sure that you know what happened in other places in the world, what's happening now. Yep. And that it's such a strong structure that it's going to take all of us. And you either become a part of it or you're going to be swallowed by it. You're going to be swallowed by the Leviathan. So, you know, be angry, but don't be hopeless.
I like that. Well said. All right. Well, we got a bunch of super chats. Let's see what the crowd has to think. First, we got Robert Wiles. I hope this makes Betty smile and Diana Francisco smile. I'm doing better today. I'll be seeing my doctor next week to see what I got, why I got dizzy. Be blessed. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you. Good to see you. And thanks for tuning in earlier to my other, I joined someone else's podcast. Mark Robershaw says, what's Krigling, Kriglers? I've never heard that before, but you know, just Krigling out. I don't know. Andre with a $10 super chat says, shout out to Julia, the most amazing honey badger out there. Interesting. You're a honey badger, huh? Because honey badgers don't give no hoots, I guess. Vash says, become ungovernable, poop in the sink. Just make sure it's not your sink. Short bus Dave, Adam, making babies, I'll sacrifice to Freya for you. I'm not there yet. All right, Dave. Thank you. I appreciate you, bud. Robert Shaw says, taxed into poverty. Bryson Gray with a $50 super chat. Shout out to Bryson. Bryson is absolutely awesome. Thank you, dude, so much. He says, for you and Julia. Cheers, mate. If you guys don't know who Bryson Gray is, you should. He is unapologetically American and himself. I love people with that kind of attitude. Sticky Icky Ricky says, please explain why Ernest Goes to Jail was snubbed at the 1991 Oscars. I don't think I ever saw that movie. Do you even know that? Do you even know what that movie is, Julia? Ernest Goes to Jail?
No.
No, that's okay. Vicidius with a $10 super chat says, how are the relations with Brazil and Argentina? Been following Argentina more closely. The growing involvement of China there is alarming, especially with their involvement in the energy sector. Do you know much about that?
No. We Brazilians don't really, we have a little frenemy relationship with Argentina. So okay. I don't really follow, but I do know that with my travels around the world, China has been a huge, huge investor in infrastructure. So like if you go to Africa, Everywhere. They're the ones building the roads. They're the ones building the power plants. They're the ones building. So when you think about America as the superpower of the world, you can think about the fact that China can just literally pull the plug into a poor country's power grid system. And that kind of owns them. They're giving jobs, they're buying politicians, they're doing all of that. So they're doing this thing like under, you know, the radar. They're not being super big and loud about it, but under the radar, they're buying everyone.
Yep. And it's crazy because in the contracts that they're making with these countries, like, hey, we'll build you infrastructure and, you know, you pay us back over a set amount of time. But further down into the fine print you go, there eventually you get to where it says, if you can't pay us, it becomes China land. And that's craziness. And that's happening to all these countries in Africa. Argentina, they actually have a space base there that no one's allowed to go into and check out. Even Argentina police aren't allowed to go there, which is really frightening because we don't know exactly what's going on. Though it does make sense that it's kind of on the other side of the world where they might need to maintain a relay with satellites, but either way, no one's allowed to actually go in and see what they're doing there, including Argentina, which I think is absolutely bonkers. Let's see here. Vicidius with another $10 super chat says, what do you think of La Libertad Avanza, aka Freedom Advances Party? I saw that one of their candidates, Javier Milei, just got endorsed by Eduardo Bolsonaro, Bolsonaro's kid.
I'm not a huge follower of that, but if he did get endorsed by Bolsonaro, it's probably a good thing because Eduardo Bolsonaro is a good guy.
Okay. You know, someone actually asked me in a super chat, so I'm gonna wait till that super chat for this question that I'm gonna ask you. Scrody Johnson says, howdy, Adam, you should run for office. Thank you. I don't think I will. I think I would be better off doing my research and inspiring others to stand up. I've spoken about that often. Hydro says, there has been a lot of dog whistles to attack whites and anyone from the right, and allowing them to get away with it as well leads to more attacks. Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in right now. Johnny with a $20 super chat says, here's the silver lining. VP and ID requirements are only in Democratic states for the most part. So let's see what they do with voting indoors. Heck of a hole they are digging. I almost changed my mind about the requirements. I absolutely do not want any of those. They're talking about the vaccine passports, but I think it's, if we give them an inch, you know, they're never going to give it back. So do you know what I mean? Like, even if we, like, sure, it's an experiment to, like, it is the Democratic states that are implementing, like New York, for example. You can't, I think you can't even go shopping without a vaccine passport, which is bonkers because, you know, the only 26-27% of the Black community there has been vaccinated. So it's segregating New York City. So if you're, you know, if you don't have a vaccine passport, you can't go about society, and it's basically racist.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care to be racist. They just care. They get away with everything that they try to claim that we do. But you have to be mindful of the frog in the boiling water. So, for example, in just real quick, in Brazil, if you look up countries where owning guns is legal, Brazil would normally be on that list, especially prior to Bolsonaro, because Bolsonaro now made it legal. But Brazil would be on that list. And I come from there. I know that's very, very difficult for anyone to get a gun. And the reason behind it is because the government put so many little rules in place, one after another, after another, after another.
Yep.
You have to have a reason to have a gun. You have to have a psychological check. You have to do this. You have to go do that. You have to, and cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And by the time they're done with all those rules, nobody has a gun. So that's the final goal, is to try to turn on the heat just a little bit. We don't pay attention to this local ordinances, to city council meetings. We don't pay attention to none of that. And then we wonder, how did this happen?
They've
been doing that. They've been putting those little clauses, those little things in place for a long time. And we don't pay attention. And when we see, because we're compromising a little bit, we're just doing the mask. Oh, I'll just do this one little rule. I'll just follow this one little, I'll just get this vaccine. I'll just get the passport. I'll just get that. And then at the end of the day, you gave them all the power that you had left.
Nailed it. Vesidius again says, Smartmatic was used in Brazil's elections until recently, from what I could find, without being specific, was what we saw in November similar to Brazil. What do you think about that? Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I talked about it.
Yep. Not surprising at all. Leonardo says, can we stop acting like the jab is not the mark of the beast? People were getting banned for even saying that last year. It was absolutely insane. Vesidia says, what do you think of Glenn Greenwald's reporting on Brazil? So I actually watched his, I don't normally watch people's videos, but I wanted to get a little insight on it. Did you see his reporting on it? Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Did you hear Glenn Greenwald's reporting on Brazil?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What did you think of it?
You mentioned something, you watched his video.
Yeah, Glenn Greenwald. If you were able to check his out, his reporting, what did you think of it?
So I don't like what he's doing in Brazil. I feel like he has a different reputation here in the U.S. and he tries to do and say things here in the U.S. It's almost like he has his own interests, and he has to. I mean, he's a guy who lives in a different country. He has two kids. He has nobody for his own. He's being proudly followed by the feds. So he has to stand for his own interests at times. And I feel like Brazil is at the end of that, the nasty end of that. Mm. So I don't think that his reporting is accurate with Brazil. I don't think it's fair with Brazil. I think that a lot of things that he stands for here in America, he doesn't stand for in Brazil. He's married to a socialist congressman from the socialist party. So it's sort of like, again, it's his own interest, and I feel like he's doing over there, he's doing a job, and over here he's trying to, you know, he still cares about America, so he's trying to be legit here, but over there to him it's a job.
Okay, thank you. Mao says, find a mic and just speak your mind. It starts there. I agree. Freedom Radio says, Adam, when you said people need to become representatives, I said, yes, the way to get rid of bad politicians is for good people to replace them. Absolutely. But I mean, as Julia said, these people have millions of dollars backing them to stay in there. But look at Lauren Boebert. Like, she was a mom that just started speaking out. She got a mic and started going to all these places and became known. And now they're trying to get rid of her because she is not following their rules and they are trying to get rid of her. So that is exactly it. I think we need to get on the local level because, as Julia just pointed out, it's those little tiny increments, right? And those small little changes that slowly start taking away a little bit of your freedom, but it's for the, you know, for the good of the people, for the good of the people. And eventually you realize all of it was to build this huge prison cell, all right, that you couldn't see until all of a sudden the bars slammed into place. Let's see. Visidia says, our compliance is only prolonging this nightmare. Yep, true. Mr. Knox, people need to pay attention. When people mention New World Order, they were called conspiracy theorists. Then they mention the quiet part out loud. I mean, nonstop. How many times have we been hearing the term New World Order? It's absolutely freaky. Francisco, 420 Pacific time, packing a fat Brasileiro bowl. Por mi gente. Very nice. Let's see. Ethan with a $20 super chat says, it's pronounced Rue. All right, so Ethan Rue. All right, got you. First super chat. With people like Julia on our side, I'm sure we can win. God bless you both. Thank you very much, Ethan. I appreciate that. Yeah, and honestly, Julia, thank you for basically putting yourself out into the world. I mean, I see you're rather spicy on Twitter, and they've actually suspended you. They suspended you a couple months back, right? And then re-implemented your account. You're muted right now, by the way. Can you hear me? You're muted. There we go.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I think my account has been suspended at least once or twice.
Yeah.
And I remember two times, but maybe it was just once. And I've been locked out of my account for, I think, like maybe three times. And also permanently banned from PayPal and all of that. But I always fight back, right? I always become that most obnoxious person. Yeah. And I'm emailing people and I'm finding their emails and I'm going after it and I'm on the phone all the time and I'm trying to like, and I try to educate myself to the point where it's not easy to just push me over, to push me around. So
that's what we need to be like.
It's
be more
it's
like
worked
Julia
out for me so far. Yeah, I've been reinstated, so that's good.
Yep. Don't accept it. Be more like Julia, people. Let's see here. Harambe with a $10 super chat says, thank you, Julia. God bless you. Jack McCarthy says, impeach Joe Biden. Oh, don't mind that. Right outside the narrative says, sup, bro. This Julia chick is awesome. Thanks for having her on the show, and thanks for speaking out about all of this. I am at a loss of words today. Right on, right on. Roger says, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are stranded on a desert island in the Pacific. Who survives? Our country! That's pretty funny. Gone Fall says, the establishment is scared that they aren't successful in convincing us into their oppressive globalist agenda, so now they're acting desperate. That is true. And that's why it's more important than ever that we remain vigilant in keeping our freedoms, because we could, you know, this is a very pivotal moment, I feel, in human history, in our lives and what we do. I mean, we can roll over and let them have the power forever, or we can keep it. I think we need to keep it. I think I would like that. Roger says China is banning online gaming for all under 18 Monday through Friday and 1 hour on the weekends. I think it was 3 hours on the weekends. They're cracking down on UN China beliefs. There may be a revolt coming. That would be wonderful if China revolts and the CCP gets overtaken. Like, whew, can you imagine that? I don't think they're going to let that happen. Jeffrey says, you guys see Zuby had a meetup yesterday in NYC about Vax Pass and had a lot of people showed up. They had a large protest and media won't cover it. I saw his picture in Central Park with him and a bunch of people behind him, or his little video. It's pretty cool to see. Let's see. Francisco says, hi, Julia. Have you seen Tropa de Elite? Do you think police will divided and corrupted like that for COVID in the U.S. and internationally?
Yes, I have. I've seen both movies, and I really like it. I found it really fun, especially the second one, because it talks a lot about So the first one is like chaos, right? And we see the shootings, whatever. The second one is explaining how the wheels turned to make it so that we had a huge amount of violence, a huge amount of poverty. Do I think that police is gonna go crazy? I think if they first, the government's not gonna allow any type of dissent, even if it comes from the police. So if cops wanna dissent, like what they're doing with the federal officers, if you wanna dissent, you're not gonna be a federal employee anymore, because we're making federal employees go along with what we're saying. If you want to go a different route, you're losing your job, and we're going to hire somebody who wants to get the job done. So as they make the economy crumble, everybody's desperate for money, everybody's trying to feed their families, the government's the only one that can employ you, they're going to find somebody who's willing to do the job. If you're not, somebody is. And so the good guys are going to quit, or they're going to die because they're going to be put into very violent situations as tensions rise. Yeah. They're going to be putting people against the police. So they're going to die. They're going to quit. They're going to get fired. And they're going to hire somebody who wants to do the job. So, I mean, it's what it is. It's institutions, right? We have to focus on the people and not on institutions. Don't trust in institutions. Don't trust, like, the military. Don't think that the hope is going to be in the military, because they have already thought of that, right? They've already taken control of the military. Yep. Let's put trust in individual people. Let's you and I build this bond. Let's you and I build this connection, and let's you and I empower each other, because institutions, they don't want what's best for us.
Truth. And we got one final super chat. This is from Darth Call. What's up, homie? Says freedom. That is all. Awesome. Hey, Julia, it's been a real pleasure talking to you about this. I think this is one of the most important issues that is not being talked about by many people, because it's not, people aren't, they don't realize how dangerously close to the fall we are. And I'm an optimist, right? I try to remain, bright and think that people can rise out of this. And I think we can. I don't think it's too late. I think people need to really come together now more than ever and realize that we have to maintain our freedoms or they will be taken away. I'm going to give you the video. If you want to just tell people how to follow you, what you're up to now and what you're doing, and, you know, just give yourself a little pep, you know, a little send off.
Okay, so I kind of, like, my internet gave away on that last little part. You're saying you're giving it to me so I could say whatever I want?
Yeah. Say good, you know, tell people how to follow you and, you know, what you're doing right now.
So you can follow me everywhere at Rio Julia Song. So I'm on Gab, I'm on Telegram, I'm on Twitter, I am on Carbon, which is a new social media, which is something that you can do. Get yourself out of these big platforms as much as possible. Don't give them money. Don't give them the ability to make money off of you. Get into cryptocurrency. Find ways to decentralize it. Take the power from these institutions, right? They have taken so much power, decentralized everything. become a source of information, become somebody who your neighbors can count on, stop depending and waiting on people, and you become the power, and someone else becomes the power, and we take back what is ours. So you can follow me at Real Julia Song, and I hope you guys feel inspired. You can reach out to me anytime you want for, you know, whatever it is. And I want to see every one of you out there, and I'll be with you.
That's awesome. We got a couple more super chats. Let me just read them real quick. Mr. Knox says, have you seen the recent video of protests in Afghanistan lately? It was massive, and not even the Taliban could do a thing. I have not seen that, but that is absolutely awesome. I am definitely going to look into that. Mr. Squiggle says, Biden said, it's not about your freedom. It's always about your freedom. Freedom is the root of everything. Remember that. I agree. It is about our freedom. Biden can go kick rocks. Paul C says, she's awesome. Talking about you, Julia, of course. Bring her on again. Julia, you are always welcome back onto the show anytime you want to join in. And we don't have to necessarily talk about this stuff, but we could, of course, keep talking about it. Serta says, Adam, YouTube won't let me super chat. Does Julia have a YouTube, or do I need to take the back roads? I actually have some of her social medias down below. I got her Twitter down there, Carbon. I think your Telegram is also written as well, at Real Julia Song, among all of those things. I'm pretty sure that's your handle pretty much anywhere. So if you just type that in, you'll probably find her. You don't have a YouTube, right? I don't think you have a YouTube. No. Okay.
Not yet, but I will.
You should. Yeah. Get a YouTube, because currently that is the online mic, as it were. There's Rumble, there's Odyssey, there's a couple DLive, a couple other places, but, get out there. Ryan says, no liberty, no peace. All right. Well, thank you all very much. Julia, thank you very much for joining me. It was a pleasure to have you on the show. Can't wait to have you on again. And everyone, I'll be back. Of course. Everyone, I will be back tomorrow for Jam Night. How we do on Friday night jams. There's a rumor that a 100-sided die might be spotted for tomorrow's show. Thank you guys all very much, and I will see you all next time. All right, good night.
Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show, coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.